Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me, how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us guidance and take us in to the truth and the depth of this your word, Father, so that we can grow thereby and be closer with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, that we can be closer to you, and that we can walk in your will and your way and not ours. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be working in chapter 18 of Matthew this morning. We're going to be dealing with several things here. Now, verse 1. At the same time came disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receive it." Do you see what he's talking about here? It's when we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and we ask him for forgiveness of our sins, we are to put our trust in him. and in the Lord God. Because, you know, a child, and I believe that that's why he chose this child, because a child places all of his trust and all in his parents to take care of him. Because they are the ones and the only ones that he can go to. And you see, we need to be the same way with the Lord, putting all of our trust in him, knowing that he is the only way that we can walk through this life and stay well enough to enter into the kingdom of Almighty God. So what shall we do? There's nothing else. So we must become as that little child. Because you see, when we're converted, that's really what we are. With God is a child. Because we have very little understanding of the word or of him. But we know that we've got to be there with him and place our trust in him, because he is the one that will take care of us. Because this world's not going to. Now, and we can't do it ourselves. So we have to become as that child. Now, verse 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's some warning right there. Think about that. We're not to hurt each other because we are all children that belongs to God. 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. We're not to be offensive with one another. He's letting us know straight out. He's not walking around no bush, putting it straight. 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the to everlasting fire. Don't let your members be offensive unto God. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Watch what you look at and watch what you are thinking as you look. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. But you know also, he's using this child to let us know what he thinks of the children, but also what he is thinking of us as becoming spiritual children and what we need to do in both ways. So what do you think he's going to do with all of these? That he's killed all of these young babies before they ever entered into this life. What do you think he's going to do there? His words tell me. And yet we've got churches that has accepted that fact, and they're calling it a woman's choice. It's her choice. No, it's not. Now, verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. We know that's why he came, because he has told us time after time after time. He didn't come to save that good one. He came to save that one that is lost. And that's where our work needs to be. Now, we need fellowship with one another. Yes, because where there's more than just one of us, there's more strength. So the more of us that are together is stronger. But he told us that where two or three of us are gathered together, he's there in the midst of us. So when we get more than that, we know that his power has grown more and more and more. These are things, you know, ordinarily we don't think about. Now, how think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? In other words, he's going to go look for it to bring it back. 13. And if so be that he find it, verily I say to you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. And when he does find it, you know, yes, he'll rejoice. When we lose anything, and we look for it, we worry about it until we find it, and when we find it, it puts a joy in our heart, doesn't it? And it may be something that's really not worth a whole lot, but yet that joy is there because we found what we were looking for. Now, 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. God's will is that none of us perish, because we are all his children. It doesn't matter how old we are. We are his children. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You go and talk to him alone. But now, and we're told that if he hears us, we've gained our brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Because you need to be careful of what you're saying. It's all right to go to him to get the differences settled, but don't be offensive about it. Now, this also means even your church members. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. He's turned away from everything to this point. Tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man in the public. He's one you don't run around with. He can be excommunicated, as we call it, from the church. He or she, whatever the case may be. In 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We've seen that before. If you remember, right here in Matthew, as we've been going through, we're talking about being bound, being loosed. 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, you see, that's why we need to have fellowship with one another. Because if two of us being together and agreeing about something, think of how much more power would be there if there's three or four of us. Because you see, the Lord Jesus is with each one. Now, he told us that we have to be in agreement. You see, this is where the power of God begins to work in the church. Now, 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Once again, he's telling us, where there's two or three of you gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Think about that. You know, there's things that we don't really think about that we have read and studied but it just seems like it slips away. When we want power in the church, we are to come together. And you heard right here, twice, in the same chapter, him telling you how to get that power in the church. Is by two or three coming together in agreement. But remember also, that is if we are talking about something that is the will of Almighty God and not just the frills of this world out here. For instance, as an example, someone that is sick, James 5 tells us exactly what to do. Exactly. But how many are really even willing to do that? Not many. Let's go to James 5. James chapter 5. Start here with verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, you see, he's not calling for just an elder, but the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You see what we can do when we do it rightly and we stand together. And it goes on here in 16, there, James chapter 5. Says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, so many times we're not using things that we should have known, because if you are one that calls yourself a Christian, somewhere down the line, you have either read it or heard about it. It just didn't stay with you. That's why we have to stay in God's Word. That's why he tells us, study to show thyself approved, a workman worthy of his hire. Now, 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 449 times in a day. or whenever. In other words, you're not to hold a grudge. And we know that because we're told that also. 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, he's given us an example here. This king had one brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Had to get rid of everything he had, and he sold him, his wife, and his children. 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He forgave him that debt that he owed. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. He wouldn't forgive the other servant that owed him. After being forgiven for all that debt he owed the king. And he had this one thrown into prison until he should pay the debt. Now 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Now they went to the big guy and told him exactly what all had taken place. Now, 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Shouldn't you have done the same thing? Listen to this. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now he's making him pay, just like he did with that fellow servant that owed him. 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You see, we can't hold grudges, not be forgiven by the Father. you hold a grudge against someone, God's not going to forgive you. That's his word, not mine, his. Now, let's see here. 19 is another pretty long one. I don't think the Spirit's going to lead us into that. Then we'll stop here for this morning. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Give him thanks for the things he's done for you and I. And let us keep in mind and pray that we can walk according to this word. That we can walk with forgiveness to those that has done things against us, whatever it is. It doesn't mean just if he owes us something, but if he's talked against us or about us, whatever, we are to forgive it. And when we forgive it, we need to forget about it and go on loving him or her, praying for them, that they can walk with the blessings of Almighty God in their life and make heaven their home also. And we have to do that from the heart, not just in words, but really from the heart, and love them. Because you see, God takes care of all things that way. Not you and I, but God does. All right. Heavenly Father, walk with us through this day. Use us, Father, to help someone else, to be of help in your kingdom, to be your child, and give us the guidance that we need. Keep us in your word, Father, because, Father, your word will give us answers for everything that we need. But we must enter into it, study it, accept it as being truth, because that's what it is. And then, Father, we can grow into being that child you want us to be, doing the work you want us to do, helping others that are in need, and helping them through this life, Father, keeping them always in our prayers. Not wanting to see anyone lost. Let us not hold grudges. But let us walk according to your will and your way. And as the Lord Jesus Christ gave us an example to walk. Keep us clean. Keep us strong. Keep us in health. And use us in great and mighty ways. Now, Father, keep us safe through this day as we separate to do the things we must and have to do today. And bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great day. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. So until 6 p.m., bye-bye.